I'm a retired employee of the Bangor Aroostook Railroad. I have received a request to, well, probably reminisce a little about my previous railroad experience. I could go back probably when I was just an infant. I'm a son of a railroad man, and my dad used to work for the Canadian Pacific Railroad as a brakeman, and he used to tell us of some of his experiences, and two of his experiences stood out in my mind quite vividly. First, he told about the Lincoln Pin connection they had between the box cars, or all the railroad cars at that time. The brakeman either had to have a stick to hold the link up and let it drop down on the pin, or he could gamble and reach in there with his hand and hold the link up. And sometimes he told me that some of the brakemen used to get badly hurt. Then there was another experience that I thought was quite interesting. Every so often, as they traveled down the track, they'd have to stop and load the tender with 4-foot hardwood. That's what they used in those days, and that's way back in the 1890s. And they'd load the tender with hardwood, everybody pitching in, engineer, fireman, brakeman, conductor, and then they'd go on until they run low on wood to stop again. Well, my dad came over to the United States, the state of Maine, in 1899, about the year that the Bangor and Aroostook Railroad ran into Houlton, Maine. And he got a position on the Bangor and Aroostook Railroad as fireman. And he used to, when we were quite young, my oldest brother and I, we were quite young, we used to go there on the around the station, and Daddy would take us up in the cab with him, and we used to have a lot of fun ringing the bell and watching the brakeman give signals and various other things. And one other thing that I can remember too, after my dad came over on the B&A, was that about every other Sunday he'd take his old overhauls and go over to the roundhouse and wash them. Well, we'd go with him, my oldest brother and I, and of course, as many times, a train crew from the Southern Division would come in, and they'd have probably 4 or 5 pails of clams. Well, they'd steam the clams there, and we'd have steamed clams. Oh, I used to enjoy it very much. Back in the days when my dad was firing on these steam engines, the cabs of these engines were not enclosed. They were practically open, and in the wintertime the snow and cold would blow in there, and naturally the heat would get down to throw some coal in the firebox, and the snow would melt on his clothes, and then when he step away it would freeze on, and he would come home at night with his overalls frozen right to him. He would have to stand by the kitchen stove until they thawed out, so he could get them off. And then, of course, I've had some experiences of my own as I got older and got to be a teenager. Going to school, you know, back in those days in the, around 1912, 13, 14, in that period of time, we seem to get more snow than we do in these days. And we get big snowstorms, of course, the schools would close. And we young fellows that had the strength, we used to go over to the railroad station and get work shoveling snow. Now, we used to shovel the snow off the tracks, along the side of the track, and then after the tracks were all cleaned out between them, or between the tracks, an engine with several flat cars would come along, and we would shovel the snow then from the big piles onto the flat cars, take them out, the engine would haul the flat cars out on a bridge, and we'd empty them down onto the river. which was quite an experience. Then again, there were times when I remember quite vividly in 1917, I believe it was, we had a terrific snowstorm in March. And of course, naturally, schools were all closed, so we went over to shovel snow. And my first job was to go with a big crew on a train up to Monticello, right near Monticello, in a very deep cut. And there were four trains stalled in the snowbank there. And we were all day getting those trains shoveled out of there. And then we used to relay the snow up the bank from one man to another. And I was up the top and I threw the snow not under the wires, but over the wires. That's how much snow there was. And then, of course, there were other experiences in this in the winter time over there, and shoveling snow. I remember vividly too. A gentleman that worked on the section there in Holton, and when these extra crews were on shoveling snow, his job was to keep his eye on them. And every time a few men would drop in somewhere where it was warm, he'd always come in and then see who was there and how many, and go tell the boss. And he came right in and tell us, "Now boys, you're either working here or you're going home, one or the other." So naturally we'd go out to work. Well, you know, we got so we didn't like that informer very much, but being youngsters, we didn't dare to do too much about it. But I imagine anything like that today wouldn't take long to get rid of a person like that. So then when I, of course, got older, I went to work for the Bangor Rustic Railroad myself. 22nd day of June, 1922, I walked over to the freight shed in Holton, and out of the blue sky, you might say, I asked if they were taking on any extra help, and they said they needed a man. Wanted to know if I wanted to work, and I said yes. Well, I went to work there, and I was supposed to work just 2 weeks, as I recall it now, and it ended up with 44 years. And my first 2 years was in the freight shed as a freight handler. Then I was transferred from there to the office as a car clerk. The car clerk's duty is to keep a record of all the cars that came into Holton on the different trains, all cars except passenger coaches. And that record had to be kept until the car left Holton. This record had also to be wired to the Bangor office or the car service office every morning. And everything had to balance out. That's when I say balance out, the cars loading, cars unloading, cars spare, and so on, and the type of car. And also in those days too, we didn't have any such a car as a refrigerator car. In the wintertime, our shippers shipped potatoes in what they call lined cars. They were ordinary box cars that were placed at the shipper's potato house, and he'd put an inner lining in them, and then fix a stove right in the doorway, a wood stove, what we called a box stove. And when the car was loaded, they'd put about a cord or a cord and a half of wood in the car there alongside the stove, and then a man would take that car to wherever it was going, Boston or New York. He would look after it, keep the fires going, keep the cars warm so the potatoes wouldn't freeze. Today, of course, we have refrigerated cars, and there you can heat those, or you can, in the wintertime and in the summertime, you can refrigerate them. Then, of course, I stayed on the job as a car clerk for, I believe, 6 years. And then they transferred me to Presque Isle, Maine as chief clerk, where I had charge of the money, collecting money for freight and so on and so forth. And I was there for 6 years. And then I was transferred to the audit department. My work then was to travel on the Northern Division of the Bangor and Rustic Railroad auditing the freight accounts. And not only the freight accounts, but also the passenger accounts, sometimes the express accounts, and then we also had the Northern Telegraph Company, which was a subsidiary of the Western Union at that time. We had those different accounts, freight, ticket, Western Union, or Northern Telegraph, and some in cases the express account. The ticket account, I thought was quite an experience because it was new to me, and I had to learn from the bottom up, as you might say. Now, there are several different types of ticket, but what we call the local ticket, local one-way ticket or round-trip ticket, was had printed right on it. As an illustration, from Houghton to Prescott or from Houghton to Caribou. And the round trip ticket, one would say Houghton to Caribou and the other one's Caribou to Houghton. Then we had the interline ticket, which was used for travel beyond Bangor, Maine, which was the terminus of the Bangor Aroostook Railroad at that time. The ticket agent would fill this ticket out to the destination in which the passenger wanted to go. And the work as traveling auditor was very, very interesting. And I might say too, right now, that the agents on the Northern Division of the Bangor and Aroostook Railroad were a wonderful group of men. They cooperated with me all the time. Not one of them did I feel was a person that could be you could point your finger at with suspicion. I enjoyed working with all of them. I did discover, of course, when I first went on, there was a fear of the traveling auditor, which I couldn't quite understand, but as I worked through the years, I guess I was on as traveling auditor 30 years, I did find out in some ways just why there was a fear of traveling auditors. But I would like to also mention the fact, when I went on traveling auditor the first 15 years of that time, I used most any mode of transportation to get from one station to another. What I mean by that is that I used the trains, I used the buses, I used the motor cars. The section men even used to take me from one station to another. Or if I was working in a certain station and I wanted to get to the next one, somebody might come down the station with a car, would be going the direction I wanted to go, they'd take me with them. It was an interesting experience. Of course, the last 15 years was they furnished me a car, and I didn't have to worry too much about how I was going to get from one place to another, except in the winter time, of course. I'd go out in the morning wondering whether I was going to get back at night again or not, or whether I was going to get stuck in a snowdrift. But the question has come up now as to how records were kept in the early days of railroading. Well, back in those days, we had to use an indelible pencil. All reports had to be written with an indelible pencil. After the report was made, it was put in what we called a tissue book. Each sheet was a very thin tissue, and we'd lay the report on this tissue, written side to the tissue, and then we'd put a wet cloth over that and put it in a press and press it down just as hard as we could for about 20 minutes or half an hour. And when it was taken out, the imprint of the report was made on the tissue, and it was very clear. Rarely was a report so that you could not read it. Then again, I'm going to say that this has been a very good experience on my part to take this little railroad experience of mine, and I hope that those who listen will enjoy it. Thank you.